I'd like to speak tonight about the assurance that we have in prayer. As God's children, some of the greatest blessings we have are associated with and obtained by prayer. Forgiveness of sins, for instance. In Psalm 32, in the first five verses, reads, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. This, of course, was written by a child of God in regards to the Israelites, probably and most likely David. And he is acknowledging here that his sins are forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to have your sins forgiven. But you'll notice that when he says, "I kept silent, my bones grew old." When I kept silent, my sin was heavy upon me. You can imagine, we talked this morning in our adult Bible class about the conscience. And that's what he's talking about here, is that his conscience was convicting him of his sin. But he is failing to confess his sin before God. Well, what a blessing there is in the forgiveness of sin. And so in verse 5 he says, "I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not hide my iniquity any longer." And he says, "And you forgave the iniquity of my sin." We know that as we turn to the book of Acts in chapter 8 and verse 22, that here we're told to repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. And of course, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful, trustworthy, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Simon the sorcerer was a child of God at the time that Peter told him to repent and to pray in regards of his sin. Of course, John is writing to Christians in 1 John chapter 1. And so, for those who are in Christ, those who have been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins, there is a continuing avenue of forgiveness in recognition of sin, confession of sin, and praying to God for the forgiveness of that sin. What a wonderful blessing we have, that as we become aware of our sins, we can indeed acknowledge them to ourselves and to God, confess them to Him through prayer, and have our sins forgiven. There is praying on behalf of others. In James 5 and verse 16, the intercessory prayer. And what a great blessing that is. James 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your trespass to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Pray for one another. Pray on behalf of one another. And in this particular context, he says, when one is holding themselves accountable to God and accountable to their brothers and sisters in Christ, acknowledging their sin before you, the thing we are to do for them is to pray for them, that God would forgive them of their prayer, of their sin. And of course, we are to forgive as well. In prayer, we can cast all of our cares upon the Lord. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 tells us to cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. God wants to hear what's on our heart. He wants to hear the concerns of our life. He wants to hear the burdens that we have because He cares for us. It's comforting to know that God cares for us. It's comforting to know that as we cast our cares upon Him, that He is someone who can do something about those cares. He will do what is necessary for us in regards to those cares. Now, sometimes we have cares in life that are meant to build character, spiritual character. Not that that care that we have might be removed from us all of a sudden, but that we might have strength to endure that particular care and to let our light shine in the midst of the darkness of that care. But you know yourself that in times of distress and times of great concern, there's a great bit of comfort in just sharing that discomfort that we personally are feeling with someone else, someone who will listen, someone who loves us, someone who cares for us. And there is no one who loves us more, and there is no one who cares for us more than Almighty God. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be anxious or be worrisome for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Whatever concern you might have, whatever you might be tempted to be anxious about or worry about, don't do it. But you have a concern about something, don't you? And God invites us to cast our concerns upon Him, to let our request be made known to Him. And as we do so, that we are to let that need be known with thanksgiving, He says. In other words, before we even see God's answer to our prayer, we are to thank Him for the answer. There is a confidence in our prayer, knowing that God hears our prayer and He's going to provide for us in that need and that concern in the very best way possible for us as well as for Him. Philippians 4 and verse 7 goes on to say, "And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That as we pray to God, who cares for us, who's going to provide the very best for us, that there is a comfort and peace that's just, it's like a wave of peace over us, knowing that He indeed cares for us and is going to provide what is best for us. Have you ever, in a time of concern, there might be something that you are anxious about, and you finally resign yourself to the desire, God's will be done. Whatever God's will is, let it be done. And I'm fine with that. There is a great peace that will overcome you in a time of anxiety if we will pray the prayer that Jesus prayed. Not my will, but thine be done. God's will be done to His praise and to His glory. May my faith continue. May my faith be strengthened. May I grow stronger. And although I don't know exactly what the will of God is in this particular matter, whatever it is, I can live with it. And I will live with it to the glory of God. God's will be done. Express your concerns to Him. You're anxious about something. God invites us to cast all of our care upon Him. Be thankful for His answer to our prayer before we see the answer to our prayer, knowing that what best is going to be provided to us. God's will be done. Access to that peace begins with the promises of God and is accessed through prayer to God in agreement with His will. Finding mercy and grace in our time of need is also something that is realized in prayer. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us come boldly or with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." If I'm coming before the throne of His glory and the throne of His grace, I'm coming there most often through prayer, with a confidence that He hears and that He answers prayer, seeking His mercy. Not that He's obligated to help me, but that He will, out of His unlimited favor and love. How do we know that our prayers are being heard by God? Well, first and foremost, prayer is an exercise of faith. Why do we pray? What makes us think that we can pray to God and that He will hear our prayer, first of all, and secondly, that He will answer our prayer? What makes us think that? Where did we come up with that idea? Is that just our idea? No, we pray because God invites us to pray to Him. He expects us to pray to Him. His Word teaches us to pray to Him. And so, prayer being a matter of faith comes by hearing the Word of God. God teaches us to pray to Him. Praying correctly doesn't come naturally. Remember, the apostles said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, what did Jesus do? Did He say, "You don't need to be taught to pray"? Just whatever's on your heart, just express that to God. No, He taught us how to pray. He taught us how to address God, how to reverently come before the throne of God in prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed," how high, how holy, "be Your very name." Our prayers must begin with humility and reverence. God teaches us to pray, to pray correctly. We need to pray the way God teaches us to pray and apply the principles of that model prayer to every prayer that we offer before God. Prayer must come from a humble heart. In Luke chapter 18 and verses 9 through 14, He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to a temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank You that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Indeed, when we pray to God, we must come with a humble heart, not with the feeling that God is obligated to hear and answer our prayer, but we are humbly requesting that He will hear and answer our prayer to His praise and to His glory. In James chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, we read, He gives more grace, therefore He says, in Proverbs 3:34, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He's not obligated, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. It takes a humble mind to do that, doesn't it? It takes a humble person to live for God instead of for self. To bring honor and glory, to lift up God in their life rather than themselves to be lifted up among their peers. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You can't have it both ways. You can't serve Satan in the morning and God in the afternoon. Purify your hearts. Humble yourself before Him. Submit to Him wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. Prayer must come from a humble heart. We must be keeping His commandments for God to hear and answer our prayers. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. How do you know you're doing what's pleasing in the sight of God? You have to be keeping His commandments. And you can know that the things that you ask of God, you're going to receive because you are pleasing Him by keeping His commandments. We must pray in harmony with His will. 1 John 5 and verses 14 through 15, this is the confidence, this is the assurance that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. Now, if you are praying to God in accordance with His will, what are you going to be asking for? Are you going to be asking for things that are not in accordance with His will? No. Knowing the will of God, as revealed in the Word of God, you're going to be praying in harmony with the will of God, with the desire not only that your will be done, but more importantly, that God's will be done, and that He will be glorified. We must pray in full assurance of faith, not doubting at all. James 1 and verses 6 through 8 says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. How much doubting is that? How much doubting is there in no doubting? Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Don't wonder if God's going to hear your prayer. He said he does. Don't wonder if he's going to answer your prayer. He said he will. You don't have to wonder how it's going to turn out because you prayed that God's will be done. And you can find peace in that. Don't doubt. Well, what's going to happen? God's will is going to happen. And you're going to remain faithful. That's what's going to happen. And you're going to glorify God. That's what's going to happen. And that's all that matters, isn't it? In Mark 11, in verses 22 through 24, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe, and you will receive them. And you will have them. Believe that you will receive them and you will have them." Now, was Jesus talking literally when he said, if you say to that mountain over there, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done? Was he speaking literally about that? No. No. But he was saying nothing's impossible with God. Is it the will of God for you to be praying that the landscape of the earth be changed just because you want it to? God, I'd like to see, well, if he can take a mountain and cast it into the sea, then he can make a mountain come up out of the ground, can't he? I'd like to see a mountain over here out my kitchen window when I'm doing the dishes. Oh, okay. No. Could God do that? Sure, he could do it. But is it the will of God to do that? No. And it's not your will for God to do that. If you're praying in agreement with his will, what's going to happen to the people that live on that piece of ground over there? If you say, I'd just like for that piece of ground to be a mountain. What's going to happen to their house and their water supply and their life? That's pretty selfish thinking, isn't it? Jesus is saying here with this expression, he's saying nothing's impossible for God. And you need to know that. And when you pray to him in agreement with his will, God is going to hear and answer your prayer. Because he loves you and because he can. Because he said he would. And you can trust him. We must pray intensely and with energy. James 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another as you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And that's true not in just in this intercessory prayer on behalf of one who has confessed their faults to you. That's true for every prayer that we pray. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective, fervent. Those two words are actually from one Greek word, which means to put forth power, to be operative, to work. And so it's a powerful request. It is a prayer requesting action. and work. It is a prayer offered expecting, and it is a prayer anticipating action. And many times, not just on behalf of God, but on God working in the one doing the praying. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How? The only way is if we do His will. For God's will to be done, we must choose to do it. We must be the mind of that servant. Speak, Lord, thy servant hears whatever you say. That's what we will do. And so, prayer is an exercise of faith. Why do we pray? Because God invites us to. God instructs us to. He teaches us how to pray. He assures us that He hears our prayers and that He answers our prayers. The assurance of our prayers being heard by God is based in His assurances from His Word. Pray without ceasing. Pray always, reverently, humbly, on behalf of others, and most especially on behalf of God, that God's will be done in your life. And when you see those times that you're falling short of His will, confess that before Him and request His forgiveness. And you will be forgiven. And don't doubt your forgiveness, but move forward in full assurance of faith, in a walk of life in faith with Him. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing we have in God hearing and answering our prayers. It's a blessing like all other spiritual blessings that's only available to us if we are in Christ. Have you been baptized into Christ? If not, why not? Why not be baptized this very night and have all of your sins washed away and have access to every spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus? And if you are a child of God, but you're out of favor with God, and you need to make things right with God, you need to confess your faults not just before God, but before your brothers and sisters in Christ, that we might pray with you and for you. We invite you to take advantage of that opportunity and that blessing this very evening. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?